Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Now, we didn't manage to close the door of the radio studio in time, which means Anton Savage has managed to get in once again. So for the next couple of minutes, bear with me, he's going to reveal his bizarre news stories of the week. Of the week gone by, that is, whether you like it or not, and I am going to put on the kettle. Off you go, Anton. What have you got for us this week?
Well, where we're starting with is this show has, as one would expect, been ahead of the curve. Because for a number of weeks, I have been saying to you that if you want to get kooky stories, where do you go?
Oh, you see, you did have a place.
You go to Florida.
Florida,
that's
yes.
That's where the weirdos are all from.
Right.
Turns out it has become a meme. So there is now a thing that you are meant to do, which you can do now if you have access to a smartphone. All you do is you put in the quotation marks, Florida man, and
really?
Then your birthday. And what comes up is the relevant news story from your birthday. And people are doing this all around the world. I took your birthday, or at least what Wikipedia says is Dave Fanning's birthday.
Oh yeah, that's completely nonsense, but go on.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, you right. couldn't have just played along for this
along,
one.
Yeah. It's so, somewhere in December, isn't it?
Correct,
which it isn't,
30th
by
of
the
December.
Way.
God,
anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's assume that it
if
is.
If you were born on the 30th of December, Dave, what would have come up was a Florida man thought he had a foolproof plan to keep deputies from searching his vehicle.
Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you there. Are you telling me that if you put in any date of the year, you'll find a Florida man story?
Correct.
Oh, now
and
I
that's what
you.
People
Sorry.
Are doing. So they
was I not listening to the first bit you
no,
said?
No, you never do. It doesn't matter.
Just I just thought I picked that up from your scant information.
Well, let's say your birthday is the 22nd of March. You go, Florida man, 22nd of March.
Ah, right.
And you're pretty much guaranteed to get some lunatic in Florida doing something stupid. Okay. On the birthday that Wikipedia, and I am slightly stunned to discover that Wikipedia has something inaccurate.
That it could
on
be
it.
Wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. That Wikipedia says is Dave Fanning's birthday. What happened on that day was a Florida man thought he had a foolproof plan to keep deputies from searching his vehicle on Christmas Eve. This gentleman, Charles Albert Garcia, was stopped for driving at 70 miles an hour in a 40 mile an hour zone. The police said to him, "We are going to search your Lexus." He thought quickly, locked all of the doors with his driver's door open, threw his keys inside, and then closed the door. Locking his keys in the car and stared at the cops as if to say, "Haha, let's see you search the car now." So deputies called a key company, opened his car and found that it contained cocaine, heroin, crystal meth, pills and marijuana. And on subsequent investigation discovered that he has been driving on a suspended license since 2012 and has been arrested three times for doing that, and he went to jail. So that's
but it was a desperate attempt not to be. I mean, it was obvious if we did that, that he had some died. Give me a
this
break.
This is why the Florida man stories are so good.
It's not the
this
same guy every time, is it?
No, there is an unending, it's like turtles all the way down.
There are at least 365 of them.
Oh yeah, okay. So this week, our Florida man story from this week relates to Keith Johnson. Keith Johnson was arrested for...
Oh, now I get you. Okay, so that's the supposed birthday that doesn't exist, and now you're going to give me one from this week.
This week. Right, now, if you want to tell me what your actual birthday is, I'm sure I could Google one up for you, but later on this afternoon, when you just the feet up at home.
Indeed.
This week's one, then. Police in Milton, Florida, have arrested a man and charged him with misdemeanor battery, which is a penalty that includes up to 1 year in jail and 12 months probation, and a $1,000 fine. What they arrested him for was 44-year-old Keith Johnson arrived at a person's house, the victim in this crime, drunk. He then demanded that she give him egg rolls because he had reason to believe that she had egg rolls inside the house. A negotiation continued at the door where she said that she wouldn't let him into the house, but that she would put the egg rolls out by his car so that he could have them if he'd go away. He pushed her away from the door and seized the egg rolls and is now facing 12 months in jail. For egg rolls.
Damn, I wish I could come up with a quick line about eggs and rolls and jail, but I can't.
In other news, the Oxford English Dictionary is expanding to include new words, as it always does. Because this is one of the things that's interesting about English as languages around the world, is that English constantly grows.
Yeah.
And it constantly morphs. And things that mean one thing can actually change over time to mean another.
Yeah, but there's always a list at the end of the year of the 10 new entries in the Oxford
Correct.
English Dictionary.
But the thing that gets missed in them is they should also do a list of words that have changed. So if you look at my personal favourite, you know the word fulsome?
I do.
Right. Everybody thinks fulsome means...
is a prison.
Well, no. Ah, the blues.
Sorry.
So everybody thinks fulsome means full and magnanimous because that's what it sounds like. It actually originally meant the opposite. It meant small-minded
really?
And insincere. So if you gave somebody a fulsome apology, it meant you didn't mean it, and
wow,
it was really
mealy mouthed. Now I have really learned something. I did not know that.
If you now go to the original, like the big OED, Oxford English Dictionary, and look up fulsome, it has two meanings, each of which is the reverse of the other. The first meaning is small-minded and not genuine. The other is now full and genuine, because it's been misused so much, it's come to mean the opposite of what it originally meant.
Wow, the actual opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, words like bastard, like, I mean, that shouldn't mean like a child born out of wedlock or something. Give me
correct.
A break, lads.
But it is now morphed to mean, I'm sure if you look at it, there'll be two or three other meanings, and some of it will just be an objectionable person, and it'll have nothing to do with its root.
Funnily enough, people are still freaked out about it. Up to a few years ago when the Quentin Tarantino movie was advertised on television, did you hear it? Inglourious.
What did they leave the rest of it?
They just said inglorious. Excuse me, I'm reading it on the screen. There's another word there.
So the new words that have come in, a lot of them have come in from Welsh. Some of them have come in from Cajun and Creole. Some of them have come in from
And these are now in the
Scottish.
Oxford English
these
Dictionary.
These are in the Oxford English Dictionary. My personal favourite is the word yat, spelled Y-A-T.
Which means?
Where yat.
Sorry?
Where yat. You're all over there, all I'm right. over here. Where yat, right? Among the Scottish ones, one that has come in is abide in. So it's hyphenated. B-I-D-I-E hyphen I-N. So let's say you're living with me, but you're not married to me. You'd be my bide in, which I think means is rooted in abide in. The other ones include, which is another good one, a situtery, spelled S-I-T-O-O-T-E-R-I-E, situtery. And a situtery is a nice place to sit out.
Is it?
Yes, you say, we go to that pub. It's got a great situtery.
I must try that one.
Among other ones, if you really want to get
baskets.
Into it, a geggy, which means mouth. And of course, with the Oxford English Dictionary, everything has to have a citation. So there's a citation from a William Miller's 85 short story, Andy's Trial, which has written phonetically, "Mad dear woman, will you kindly shut your geggy?" That's how it's spelled. It means shut your mouth. And the other one that has made it into the OED is tube, which can also be spelled C-H-O-O-B, tube.
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 Yeah.
Meaning a stupid or contemptible person, an idiot. So there's one that has, a tube did not originally mean that, but now tube is an acceptable insult according
but
to
I
the
But I never
OED.
Knew what it originally meant anyway, so this is all
You didn't know
me.
What a tube was. No. You've gone your whole life without knowing what a tube was.
C-H-O-O-B.
Yeah, but that's a second spelling.
I know.
The first spelling is tube.
Oh, the four-way
C. Yes, tube, Dave.
T-U-B.
Stay with me at least a little.
Fair enough. No, I'm just thinking of when you mentioned yat there, being like, where yat?
Are you still on this?
No, I was with my Canadian nephew walking through Dublin once, and there was a guy standing outside Burdocks with chips on him. I saw eating chips. And he had his foot up against the wall and he looks over at me and goes, "Story, Dave." Did he just insult you? No, he didn't. It's okay, forget it. It was very nice. How do you do from Ireland? Anyway, yat. Where yat?
Yat is effectively the New Orleans equivalent of story.
Right.
In drunk news.
There is at least one a week, isn't there?
There is, yeah. Always. Usually it relates to Florida, but we're past that now. A survey, actually a study, what? Yeah, we'll call it a study, it sounds fancier, has revealed that last year, Americans spent $39.5 billion while drunk.
But I mean, that's, how do you make, wait a minute, what survey? What's, you can't measure that. Like if you're on three pints and you buy a fourth one, that's buying something maybe while drunk.
Is that
what you mean?
I think they ruled out additional booze while boozing. It means going home while inebriated or becoming inebriated at home, opening your laptop or smartphone and going, do you know what I need?
And did they admit to this a week later, kind of thing?
They admitted that there was a survey done of 2,500 adults where they went and they said, have you ever bought anything drunk and what was it? So they developed categories of what were the most common thing.
Right.
The most common thing that people buy when they're drunk, it's a pretty obvious one.
Is it?
Yeah, what would you buy
food?
If you were at home?
No.
Yeah,
is it?
Bang on,
right.
Pizzas and stuff is about where half the people go. Closely after that, shoes and clothing online, and then cigarettes. So I assume they actually have to leave the house because I don't think you can get them delivered on Amazon. But the most outrageous ones, 1 in 10 Americans who contributed to spending $39.5 billion last year spent their drunk money by buying a car.
Buying a car.
Buying a car while drunk. Online.
And were they happy a week later? Good car.
I think there isn't there a theory that says that once you commit sufficiently to a purchase, you're in that position where you look foolish if you don't double down. So I'm sure they have to say, no, I was delighted, it worked out great.
I'm sure you're right, Doctor.
It is not as extreme as a couple of one-off instances. The two most extreme that I could find of people drunk
shopping. I knew this is going to lead to this kind of thing. This is all you're interested in.
A man in Sri Lanka who bought... No, wait, he's Indonesia. A man in Indonesia who bought a giant salamander, a pig and a peacock and had them delivered to a house, to his house. And the reason that I got slightly confused about Sri Lanka is an English couple honeymooning in Sri Lanka in 2017 got drunk, googled the place that they were honeymooning in, saw that the lease was up for sale and bought the hotel. So they ended up buying the hotel they were on honeymoon in because they were pissed.
But a week later, were they saying, like, what did I do? Or a week later, saying, what a fantastic purchase.
They were interviewed about this and they said that the next morning they were trying to come to terms with what they had done and see could they back out, and they had a couple of cocktails and then they had a couple more cocktails and then the idea grew on them a bit, so they got into negotiations. Yeah. So they seem to have just kept themselves drunk enough to complete the sale.
Lovely.
And now they run
code
the hotel
into the story. Yeah, very good, I think.
Like,
yeah, very good.
It's been a big week for the old.
The old what?
Old, the elderly. Old,
oh, the old people.
Huge week for elderly.
Okay.
This is my my favourite elderly story, but we have several, so brace yourself. A 104-year-old woman has ticked off another item on her bucket list after she was arrested by police in the UK. Now, this is rooted in what is actually quite a nice idea, I think. There's an old folks home called the Stokely Care Home in Bristol. And one of the things they do is they go to all the older people, well, old people, because that's what they are in old folks home. They go to them and say, what would you like? You know, what's your bucket list? And she said, and she wrote down, my wish is to be arrested. I am 104 and I have never been on the wrong side of the law, said Anne Brokenbrow. So they said, well, Anne, we look into this.
Really?
Yeah.
And so they're complicit. They say, yeah, why not? Let's get you arrested. I mean, for something that she did that she shouldn't do.
No, I don't think she had to commit a crime. I think they wrote to the local police office.
Would you come in and arrest her?
Yeah, will you come
that
in and arrest
very
her?
Very kinky. She's there, Mary. Whatever your name
She'd
is.
Love the idea, yeah. Right? So
handcuffs, yeah.
Well, bear with me. Oh. This woman is, she's 104, and according to reports, she has dementia. She seems to be relatively competent, but she does have dementia. This relates to a later stage. I assume once you get to 104, that's kind of, you know, one of the things that's fairly likely. But anyway, so.
That happened to me at 20. Go on.
Her quote after it said, I had a lovely day. It was interesting. Nothing like that had ever happened to me before. They put the handcuffs on.
Ah.
I had the lot, she
the
said.
The lot.
Right? She was asked, what did it feel like being a criminal? Well, it made me much more careful of what I say and do. She's 104. Like, what's she doing in the retirement? Anyway, so she said the police were very nice throughout. The police were also quoted in this. Now, remember, this woman is an old folks home. She's 104 and she has dementia. What the police said was, she did come very quietly and she wanted to be handcuffed. So we very gently applied the handcuffs and escorted her down to the police car. Here's the important bit. It was our first time arresting anyone at a care home. She was surprised to see us. I don't think she could remember at first that she wanted to be arrested. But when she saw us and the handcuffs were coming out, she went along with it then. She didn't resist or anything. She's 104.
She didn't resist.
Like, what resistance were you expecting?
Can't be too sure.
So there you go. That's her. And she, the history doesn't recount what her next, her
thing
next
will
bucket
be.
List thing is. But meanwhile,
to kick it
across the water in Alabama,
yes.
Mildred Sandlin, in the same week, achieved one of her bucket list ambitions, which was she wanted to ride a horse.
So what? So that's what's so great about that. Lots of people want to ride a horse.
She's 93.
Oh, she's 93.
She's 93. Did you already say that? I can't remember if I did. This 93-year-old woman, born in 1920, I'm going to say 5 and hope the maths are right. Like, that's pretty old.
Yeah,
this woman was 14 when the Second World War kicked off.
Yeah, yeah.
She wanted to ride a horse.
I'd say 1924, but go on.
She wanted to ride a horse, yeah. So they got her a horse called Tough. They put her up on top of it and she rode it around and she said, you know, you had to be tough to hold a 93-year-old woman. I would have thought the opposite from a horse's point of view. A 93-year-old woman I would have thought was relatively easy to do. But anyway, she said, I just loved it, you know. I enjoyed it so much. And she says that next year she has been asked what it is that she wants to do. And okay. She says she wants to go bungee jumping.
Does she now?
Okay, there's another old one as well, which is pretty good. Flo Fillion Myler. Last week, she's competing. It has been announced that she is going to be competing in Vermont at the a number of athletic events. She's doing the 60-meter hurdles, an 800-meter run, and the pentathlon. She's also doing the pole vault. She is a shoo-in to win the pole vault because she is the only person in her category doing the pole vault. And the reason for that is the category is people aged 84 to 90. She is an 85-year-old woman competing in pole vault. So, of course, the obvious question is...
I don't know.
Oh, you come on, Dave.
Sorry.
How high is the pole vault?
Oh, sorry.
She's 86. Like, how high can it be?
How high is the pole vault?
Thanks, Dave. I assumed it'd be like 2.5 feet. It's 6 feet.
What?
Yeah.
I don't be ridiculous.
It is.
She's 90. She's 84.
She's 84. Wow. She's actually, she's 85 because she's in the over 84 category. This is a woman who can, at a run, at 85 years of age, pole vault me.
Wow, that's amazing. Yep.
Do you want some more old stuff?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Old beer, Dave.
Old beer.
Old beer. Yeah. A man called Jamie Adams this week has created a beer called Deep Ascent Ale. Why is this of any note? It's of note because he got the beer from the SS Oregon, which is a ship that sank in 1886 off the coast of New York. Went down having come from Liverpool to New York, sank off the coast of New York, and one of the things it was carrying was booze.
And is 100-year-old or more beer good? I mean, drinkable? Is it okay? Is it?
Well, interesting in this instance, he didn't want to drink it. He wanted the yeast. So they found the beer, and of course, the yeast is still alive. Once it fizzes, it means the yeast is still alive down there. He took the yeast, cultured it out, and has now made beer with it. So the beer is made by a living yeast that has survived in bottles off the coast of the US for 140-something years, and you can now drink it.
And as you say, but he didn't. When it fizzed, there was no beer, kind of. Is that what you're saying?
There was beer, but he didn't drink it. He just wanted the yeast. Okay. However, I thought you might be intrigued by whether or not things of that age are drinkable. So brace yourself.
I am.
There's a number of instances of people having found things of around that vintage and drunk them.
Things?
Yeah, booze, food, that kind of stuff. Finnish divers in 2010 found 200-year-old bottles of beer and champagne in a boat that had been wrecked in the middle of the Baltic Sea. Drank it, said it was lovely and tasted fresh and good. A bottle of wine was found under the Museum of London that was 300 years old, and it was drunk by the archaeologists who found it, and they described it as fresh, clean and lively, which isn't bad for 300 years old.
No.
That is as nothing compared to the honey that has been found in the pyramids buried in beside pharaohs. Honey that has several thousand years old has been found and remains edible because apparently honey never goes off.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It has so little moisture in it and it keeps forever and ever and ever. The only thing you're not meant to do with honey is newborn babies because it can hold a botulism toxin that adults can digest but babies can't.
Wow.
Yeah. That's as nothing compared to the oldest thing that has ever been eaten by humans. What do you think is the oldest foodstuff anybody has ever consumed?
Dinosaur sandwich. No.
You'd have to pick the furthest thing back, wouldn't you? Well, it's fairly close. There was evidence that Russian people in Siberia and the like had gnawed the occasional mammoth carcass, because sometimes when you dig them up you find tooth marks, and it's evident that the tooth marks were post its death, so somebody found it and had a go at it.
Do you know this is weird, I just realised where it was. I was going to say, do you know, I ate kangaroo once, which it was just there with Jerry Ryan, and do you know where we were? Seriously, I just realised, Florida. Don't ask what it was like, I can't remember, go on.
Of course, it's a common animal, the Floridian kangaroo. Look at it. Do you know what I had recently that isn't half bad?
What?
Squirrel. Yeah, it's not bad.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm very glad to hear it.
So the oldest thing that has ever been eaten was a corpse of a form of bison that was found almost totally intact in, I think, the northern part of North America. It was 36,000 years old. And the researchers working on it took samples, did all the rest of it, got taxidermists to preserve the skin, and then took a huge chunk of the meat and made a stew. And there are pictures online of this group of researchers sitting down to eat 36,000-year-old
all verified,
bison bones.
Definitely.
All verified,
okay. And,
all genuine.
Was it nice?
Well, the way that the report on it finished was nobody asked for seconds, but also nobody died. Do you want a bit of nudity?
Or yeah,
we
why
keep
not?
Going with the news.
Yeah. No,
sorry.
Whatever.
So, a naturist dubbed the Naked Carpenter has been arrested for, guess what, nudity. This is the second time he has been arrested. The first time he was arrested, he was doing up his house while nude, which I would have thought was kind of hard, high risk. He was doing up his house naked, and according to reports, One witness described being so disgusted when he saw the man bend over while mixing cement that he called 999. Meanwhile, another neighbour marched up to the man's door and demanded that he move house after he saw him leaning nude on a rake, which I wouldn't have thought is the worst thing you can do naked, but nonetheless. And this went to court. He faced 13 allegations, but the jury decided that his freedom of expression outweighed any alarm caused. However, this obviously emboldened the man, and he since took to wearing a pair of trousers out of which he had cut the crotch. This time the jury decided, no, that's the line, that's the limit of your freedom of expression.
As in trousers to wear around town or something?
Oh yeah.
Not inside the four walls
of
his house.
No, not just around town. Right. He was working as a delivery man at the time. Ah. So he would arrive at people's door with a package.
Hey!
2 years in jail for the naked carpenter.
Really?
Yeah. Well, do you want to finish on a shooting?
I can just see a picture of him behind bars. Go on.
A man in Detroit.
Yep.
I'll give you the headline as published by the Detroit Free Press. A Detroit man admits that he accidentally shot himself in the foot early Tuesday morning in the 1800 block of Albion Street. But did it happen after aiming for a cockroach? Turns out this man had a cockroach problem because he saw one crawling up the wall.
He's not going to shoot a cockroach.
This, I think, is interesting about America's gun laws. What he did was he took his shoe and flung it at the cockroach. In his shoe was his revolver.
Okay.
So the shoe and revolver hit the wall and shot him in the foot. The story doesn't detail whether or not he actually succeeded in hitting the cockroach, but he did have to be hospitalised for a foot injury.
I don't know what to say about that, Anton, except I don't know why they're in Detroit. They should be in Florida. All right, listen, thank you very much. Good man yourself, right, Anton mate. Savage. One more time. Now have your tea.
Dave Fanning on 2FM.